Welcome, everyone. My name is David Greenwalt. Today I have on the phone with me a very special guest, Liz Sander from New York. Welcome, Liz.
Hi.
So the reason we're doing this interview today is you've really made a tremendous transformation, and I want to talk about that. And while none of us ever feel done, where you are and where you've come to from where you started is just simply amazing. So let's find out a little bit about that. Before we get into all of the really juicy stuff, why don't you just start with some basics and tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? All that good stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm 39 years old. I actually turn 40 next month. I'm married to a wonderful man named Paul, and we have two young children that will be 5 and 2 next month. I'm an actuary, and I actually manage a department of 8 professionals. And my husband is a doctoral student, so he goes to school full-time. And so between all those things and two young kids, it keeps us pretty busy.
Absolutely. And I know that in working closely with you for the past couple years, really, and especially the last little bit over a year now, you and Paul do have an amazing, wonderful marriage and a relationship. But I want to, you know, make it clear that right now, for this particular period of time, while Paul is a doctoral student, you are the breadwinner, right?
Yes, I am.
So, I only bring that out because it's not the norm, and you know, I am speaking with the person who has made, you know, this tremendous transformation, and it is a woman, and she is the breadwinner, and you know, I mean, this list just kind of goes on, and she has kids, and you know, I mean, the list just kind of goes on and on. So, it just kind of adds to it. So, so how tall are you? And you already gave your age. Maybe you gave your height too. How tall?
I'm 5'5" and a half.
5'5" and a half. Okay. So let's go back kind of to the beginning. When did you find the Leanness Lifestyle Program?
I first found it in December of 2003.
Okay.
And that's actually probably when I first logged on the site.
Okay. So came to us in 2003. In what state of mind, in what state of body, and so on?
And in December 2003, I mean, my first log on weight was like 215. I know when I first kind of started, you know, poking around, I was 220. And really had just kind of given up on weight loss. Really, this was kind of, I had gone through a 10-year period of saying, I'm just done. I don't want to diet anymore. It makes me crazy. I can't do it. But as much as part of me said that, the other part of me wasn't happy with where I was. And for me, it was a 10-pound gain every year. So I wasn't staying where I was at. It was, you know, this year I weigh 220, next year I'll weigh 230. And really, it was through the Body Changers site. And I was just searching on the web, which was unusual for me, kind of came across Leanness Lifestyle and came across the Success Gallery and saw other women who had lost a significant amount of weight and had done it. And had done it in, you know, a period of a year. You know, it wasn't, you know, in my head I was like, if I have 100 pounds to lose and I do a pound a week, it's going to be 2 years. And looking at people who had, you know, results in a reasonable period of time, not too fast, but in a reasonable period of time. So it kind of gave me the thought of, oh, wow, well, maybe I could do this. So, you know, sent the email, asked to get in and, you know, started logging, you know, sometime in December.
Of 2003.
Should I go through kind of what happened after that?
Well, let's do this first.
Okay.
Let's kind of back up even further, and let's go, because as people see your pictures or hear your story, a lot of people are going to want to know, well, I hear her talking about she was heavy, but, you know, how long was she heavy, and how long did she really battle this? So let's go way back, or go back as far as you want to go, and give me your history with weight loss and with weight in general, and also just the Cliff Notes version of the types of programs you had done before, how many, and that kind of thing.
Right. I mean, this is definitely lifelong. I probably could tell you, you know, relate my life to what I weighed at any point in time. When I was 9, the way I kind of remember it is going to the doctor's with my mom and weighing 115 pounds, and the next stop was Weight Watchers. And so at 9 years old, I was going to Weight Watchers, and my goal weight at that point was 92 pounds. And I don't recall how long it took me to lose the weight, but, you know, that was the beginning of my dieting.
Nine years old.
9 years old.
Mm.
Got down, don't recall how long. And, you know, Mom, my family were all very, I'm the youngest of six. We're all, you know, and I would say my siblings, only one other as a young person had any problem with weight. But all of them were thin, young. Now they're not all thin, but they were
mm-hmm.
when they were younger.
Sure.
And maybe now I won't want them to listen to this interview.
But
so they were all supportive around it. My mother packed my lunch, and the Twinkies went out of the house. But the minute, and she did Weight Watchers at the same time, but the minute I hit goal, that was goal, and you went back to eating the way that you used to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, next stop that I kind of remember is being 13 and still being on Weight Watchers or doing Weight Watchers again, and sitting at a friend in junior high and saying, oh, I weighed 139 today, which in my mind I must have been more than 139, but that's really, honestly, I haven't been below 139 since I was around 13. And in high school ended up basically being around 70. I'm trying to remember who the doctor that came out with one sort of diet that was a lot of grapefruit or whatever in high school,
mm-hmm.
but did Atkins, did when you got into college. He always would try things here and there. And but really, you know, 170 was kind of, you know, where I kind of stayed at, wasn't happy with, would diet, would go up, you know, would go down, go up again. Something happened my junior year in college. I think I really just discovered that, oh, I can actually, like, have the freedom to eat what I want. Because when I was living at home, the food was somewhat controlled. My family knew I had issues. So I always was kind of under the you know,
watchful
not
eye.
Supposed to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I gained in my junior year of college, I mean, 60 pounds within 3 or 4 months.
Mm.
And went up to 230 pounds. And that was literally, I'd run into friends and say, hey, we're going out to go eat here. I'm like, great, let's go. And then I'd come back to the dorm and somebody say, hey, we're going out to eat here. I'd go, great, let's go. And I literally, 1 o'clock in the morning, we're going to the diner. I'm like, great, let's go.
Right.
And I think it was just this rebellion against, you know, of, you know, all these years of people saying I couldn't eat. And I got up to 230 and I was pretty miserable at that. And that was 1988, when Oprah had her OptiFast show. And I remember watching her and calling up the line. And so I did do OptiFast my senior year in college and got down to 180 by graduation. And once again, back down to that 170 by the time I kind of started working in, you know, 1989. Over the course of the next couple of years, I found a personal trainer who I'm still good friends with. You know, we started working out. He challenged me to, you know, come on, let's actually take off some weight, because as I've certainly learned, it's really not the activity, it's the food.
Mm-hmm.
And got down working out with him, and you know, at one point right before I met my husband in 1992, to hit the 149 mark, and that was, oh my god, I'm 149, but had the same diet mentality of I'm there, I'm done, I can go back and eat what I want. And basically gained quickly back up to 170. And when I got married 2 years later in 1994, was at 180. And that really, as I said, started kind of the gain 10 pounds, not take it off. And at that point, I went through the whole pity party of, it's not fair. This is not fair. Why do I have to exercise? I don't want to exercise. Why do I have to, they don't have to watch what they eat. And I really had what I would call a 2-year-old temper tantrum for about 10 years
mm-hmm.
of it's not fair. And because it's not fair, then it shouldn't matter. But reality was, I wasn't happy with where I was.
Mm-hmm. I like how you said that too, Liz. You said I had a 2-year-old temper tantrum that lasted about 10 years. That's very well said, because in all our talks, you know, that's kind of how it's come across. That's kind of how you've described it. I just don't think I've ever heard you say it just that way before. But yeah, 2-year-old temper tantrum for 10 years.
Yeah, it was just, you know, and I laugh. I had to grow up. I mean, I had to grow up at some point to say, hey, you know, this is it. You know, if you want to lose the weight, this is what you have to do. And I wasn't entirely there, and I still had the mentality I'm only going to do it till I get there, but. At some point, and actually, still to credit to you and to your site, I think one of the topics at the time were around the Brian Tracy books. she talks a lot about, you know, what's the cost? You have a goal, nothing's free. What's the cost?
Right.
And so you want to be lean, you know, what's the cost?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe I'm not happy with the metabolism I was born with, but it's the metabolism I was born with.
Right.
So, but it did take me a very long time to get to that, to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And still, I still would say, you know, when I started, had the mentality of, this, I'm not going to diet. There's only going to be so much I'm not going to do. I'm not going to, you know, exercise 10 hours a week. You know, that's just not realistic. And I'm not going to eat less than 1,000 calories a day because that's just not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did have all these, you know, preconceived notions of what, you know, what I would or would not do, based on what I thought was realistic. And one of the things I will say about the leanest lifestyle, and the great part of it, it kind of meets you with where you're at that point in time. So when you start at 220 and you start using the tools, no, they're not. The tools don't come back and say, yeah, eat 800 calories a day.
Right.
You know, you figure out, you know, what you can and not cannot do based on where you're at. And even, you know, going in and saying, you know, you aim for 300 minutes at the beginning, and, you know, may eventually end up doing more, but you figure out what it is you need to do. But that was, you know, so that's where my head was at, you know, come
so
December 2003, somewhat ready to grow up,
mm-hmm.
somewhat willing to give something a chance.
I think you said it well again there, Liz. In 2003, as I go back in my mind as your coach, when you just said I was somewhat ready to grow up, I have to agree with you right there. I was somewhat.
Yeah.
You were only somewhat ready at that point. But in 06, and near the end of 05, second half of 05, you started to get a little more ready. And then indefinitely,
yeah.
In the middle of 06, which we'll get to in a little bit, I would say there was a substantial shift.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Okay, so, and would you say, too, that like you were saying, you said, you look, when I first logged in, 215, 220 pounds, the program wasn't spitting out a cookie cutter. Here's an 1,100 calorie, you know, meal plan that I give to everybody, and here's the same exact minutes that I give everybody, regardless of weight, size, body fat. Do you remember, you know, kind of how you felt when you got your first kind of report that said, "Here's basically what I want you to do"?
Actually, it wasn't. I remember thinking, "Oh, this is so bad." It was 1,850 or 1,900 calories,
right?
On average, and oh well, that's not so bad. And that's probably the other thing is once I started logging, realizing how much I had been eating, and so I felt hungry. I remember the first, you know, couple days of the first week, and realizing that I had been eating 3,500 calories a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually the one commitment I made because I started December, like when I remember starting logging, it was like December 15th or something like that, right in the middle of holidays,
mm-hmm.
was I said, you know what, I'm going to eat whatever I want, but I'm going to log it. And in doing that, it was a busy season and we used to order dinners in and all this sort of stuff. I was like, and I did that, and I probably had a few 28, 3,000 calorie days logged.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like, oh my God.
that didn't take very long. Yeah,
right. This is what I've been eating, or mm-hmm. that bagel with cream cheese that was my breakfast. You know, was 600 calories. And I did come. Oh, I did do Body for Life, or try to do Body for Life numerous times, from the, you know, the mentality of six meals. And so 1,800 calories would work if my meals were really 300, but they're probably more like 600. And so, you know, and I'm a math person. It was mm-hmm. like, wow. So that was eye-opening. And the other thing I do remember after my first 3-week goal that I said, I lost 10 pounds in 3 weeks, and I can't tell you what program I did, Atkins, whatever, that I ever had lost 10 pounds in 3 weeks. Granted, you know, there was water there and all that other sort of stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it was kind of the reality of, oh, my God, I can do this,
mm-hmm.
and it's in my control. And, yes, at that point in time, I was able to eat 1,800, 1,900 calories,
mm-hmm.
Probably doing about 5 hours of activity,
mm-hmm.
And lose weight. So, and it was that I said I came sort of ready, but that was probably the first eye-opener of me recognizing I was in just such denial about what I was doing. You know, what was so unfair. You know what? Most people can't eat 3,000 calories a day. Most women can't eat 3,000 calories
right.
a day and not gain weight.
That's right. Let me just ask you real quick, kind of the before and after mindset. You know, the before mindset when you first came in, and really for even a good year or so, maybe a year and a half when you first came in, was still, it's not fair. And you worked it, and you did well, but you still had the mindset of, it's not fair. Why do they...
Right.
Why do these other people don't have to watch it? And you would, you know, you throw in, of course, the absolutes, like they don't have to watch it at all. They don't have to pay attention at all. In a lot of ways, it was, I'm the only one that has to watch this. I'm the only one that has to pay this close attention. I'm the only one that doesn't get to eat cheesecake five times a day or whatever. That, let's say that my exaggerations there, of course, are the before. You've kind of already alluded to what your before thoughts were. You know, why do they get to have this and I don't? Why do I have to do this and they don't? Once you got the facts, and of course then once you, as you said, went through your two-year-old temper tantrums for 10 years and you kind of came out the backside of that, what's your after thinking about people who live lean? Before and after.
They're not a lot before and well. Before is that there's that, you know, everybody had the ability to do it, but not me, and that it wasn't fair. But now realizing that, you know, people that live lean are doing what I'm doing, and that it's really not. And that, you know what, my metabolism, it's a little broke. It's not that broke.
Mm-hmm. Right. Not quite as slow as you might have thought.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so. It really was a, you know, I can say that was a perception that if I really look at people who are lean, who are naturally lean, that they are doing something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's not, you know, and that they choose. I have a close friend who, you know, being thin is extremely, talk about having a strong why. Her whole life is being thin was very important family-wise, and she always has been. And it was only after being on this program, watching her, that I realized that, oh, wow, she does do it. She would go out and she'd order steamed vegetables, and she wouldn't think twice about it. And people would give her a hard time about it. And at one point she said, you know what, I'd rather fit in a bikini than eat the fried food or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
She's never had a weight problem. It was that, you know, important to her. She has a very strong why to stay thin. And that's why. So now I think my perception is... Most people, certainly getting in my age bracket, who want to stay lean or want to be lean, need to do something close to what I do.
Mm-hmm. And for some of the people, there is a small segment of the population who are kind of naturally inclined to eat that way or be that way. And I think the perception is by the outsiders is it's no effort for them. Well, it's not no effort, but it might be less effort because either maybe they were raised around food a little differently, or for them they have less triggers or less addictive tendencies. But when you really get to the nitty-gritty and you look at what they're eating and how much they're eating and what kind of activity they're doing, if any, and how much, it really ends up not being a surprise.
Right.
It doesn't mean that it's not easier for some than others. It doesn't mean that their upbringing, genetics, obesity, heritage, you name it, DNA, isn't different for them, sure. But when you look at what they do, the actual mechanical aspects of what they do, you find, like you said with your friend, she never had a weight problem, but gee, every time she went out to eat, she said, I'll have the steamed vegetables.
Right.
It ends up not being as big a surprise as what a lot of people, you know, kind of want to make it as it's kind of us and them, right?
Right.
There's us, the ones who, you know, just can't ever do it, and them, the gifted ones, the ones who get it all. And no one gets it all, of course.
Right.
Anything else you want to add on the before and after mindset? As far as the, you know, looking at what other people do, or, you know, whether you have the ability to do it or they have the ability, and also, you know, kind of the mindset of woe's me. I think you kind of covered it, like you basically, you'd had a shift. You know, you spent 10 years in woe's me,
Right.
And then there was a shift. Anything else you want to add, or are we ready to move on?
I think we can move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, so you come in, you lose some nice weight early on, you lost kind of more weight early on than you had on any other program you had done. That helped kind of build up your confidence that you could lose weight again, and you could do it with a program that made sense and didn't seem to, you know, violate your intelligence and all that kind of stuff. But you did what'd you do with me? You didn't just do the program. When you came in, did you do any boot camps? Did you do it? What'd you do?
Well,
anything?
Actually, not until after Samuel was born. The little bit my little lapse during after I first joined was November. I got down to 170 again in November of 2004, which was when Kim had her show, and that's the first time that I met you out in Rockford. And I was 170 once again. Mm-hmm. And found out I was pregnant at the show. The people actually, they are new before my husband knew.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
About. Mm-hmm. And literally kind of, as I said, my mind was kind of there, but not there, but found out that I was pregnant and kind of went, you know, and everything kind of went out the window again.
Well, and I think I gave you a hard time, too, because as I always do, my clients that lose weight again, you know, get more into their fighting weight and looking better. My female clients, anyway, I have to give them a hard time because their darn husbands won't keep their grubby paws off of them, and they ruin my work. And so that's what you're alluding to here is that basically, you know, pregnant. Okay, now we're gonna go the opposite direction again for a while.
Right. And I did revert. Unlike for those who are on the site and can look for Angie, who, you know, did great during a pregnancy, I just, you know, hormones, I think 40% hormones, 60% mental.
Yeah.
Was by the time Samuel was born, I actually even stopped looking at the scale when I went to the doctor because it was 230 something before he was born. But I came home from the hospital and I got on that scale and it said 218, and I was like, oh my God, I gained it all back. And within 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks after a baby is born, a lot of that, there's just stuff that goes away.
Right.
I was down to 208. So, you know, now it's August 2005, and mm-hmm. I'm 208. And, but mentally, then I just got back on. I really did. I mean, within 2 weeks, I was back on the Stairmaster, and I was kind of back doing it. And I applied for Boot Camp 3.
Okay.
So that kind of gets, you know, that I would say, you know, after Samuel was born, kind of the mentality, part of, consider it my first lapse, there's a word you use for it, I can't remember.
Right, you got it, you got it.
Of kind of going back, becoming, and realizing, oh, okay, time to learn from that.
Recycling, yeah.
Recycling.
Mm-hmm.
And said, all right, back on the horse, did Boot Camp 3, and I'm trying, probably started Boot Camp 3 at 190-something, ended at 180-something, and that would have been September through the end of October, 2005, and so now it's November, and I'm in the low 180s, and now my pre-maternity clothes are starting to fit again, tight, but they're fitting, because
right.
At that point, so I'm starting to feel pretty good again. Did a team with Mary from Illinois, did a team with her, and, you know, got back down into the 170s, and the conversation that started in November with my husband and I was, and my husband and I go out, we have a date night once a week, we go out, we have dinner together, and that conversation that took place over 2 to 3 weeks was, I need to have a leverage. I need to have a really big leverage. I'm way too comfortable. I don't feel that I'm going to get below 170. I need something that's really going to motivate me. And he and I started to, and at the time, you were still holding checks for people.
Oh, that's right.
And so I said, look, I want to send five $1,000 checks if I meet these five different goals. I to get to the 149 that I was when I met you, this is what I think I need to do. And my husband, and I'm like, and they're checks. I said, it isn't like he's cashing them or whatever. It's only if I don't meet the goal. If I meet the goal, blah, blah, blah. So then I email you or PM you about this, and you come back, I'm doing something totally different now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I was actually the first, this is when you had PayPal out there for a little while, and I was the first person to actually try it out. Mm-hmm. But what ultimately became a $3,400 leverage that increased over time between November and June of 2006. to get to that 149. And that was a tough one for my husband as well. And as much as, you know, as much as I'm the breadwinner, when it comes to money and stuff, we jointly discuss things and decide things, and equally want what's best for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say, because I have friends, you know, reverse situation, husbands are the breadwinner, where there is a different sort of power dynamic that goes on there.
Right.
So this is where I'll put my little plug of, you know what, it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
Whoever's the breadwinner, it's a partnership. But that was a big thing for my husband to swallow of,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know, this was...
Took a lot of trust. I mean,
yeah,
it took a lot of faith, a lot of trust to say, well, it's our money, and if it goes, boy, that's a lot of money.
Right.
And not only that, but who's this guy again?
Right, exactly. And to see, and I can actually still remember the face of my husband when we decided to do it, when it was, you know, this means you have to do it. And which also that bit of, you know, he really didn't believe, and I love him dearly, didn't really, really believe that I could do it.
Right.
Really get down, because I hadn't before.
Right.
And I said, I know, and that's why I need this.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that set up. Went on to do boot camp 4 with you, which is the one where you set everybody's goal. So I lost, which I never would have set a goal for 10 pounds in 5 weeks, and I lost 10 pounds in 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And got down to the 160s. I was in 160s land at that point. And that was when, soon after that, you brought out Elite. And once again, had that discussion with my husband around, look, I really need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I knew at this point, you know, I know myself well enough. I know that the accountability that I got out of working with you, out of doing the boot camps and now doing Elite, was something that I needed. You know, I do have, well, I don't like to call myself an addict, but I do call myself a food issue, and I have issues. So I recognize I have issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that I needed something. You know, at that point, he was, you know, pretty much a believer.
Right.
And maybe it was only a 1 week conversation. He's like, all right, this is what you need to do. Do it. And I will tell you, my husband will write out a $3,000, $5,000 check every single year for the rest of my life if it means that I stay.
Right.
I don't know if I've said this. You know, as of this morning, I'm 131. You know, for me to stay in my 130s, you know.
That's awesome. 131.
So,
man, oh man, oh man, that's just outstanding. And, just for the people listening real quick, it just, you know, Liz talks about it. The term she throws out, I sent him a PM and all that, you know, for the people who have no familiarity with Lena's lifestyle, there's a couple things I want to mention. One, I converse with my clients rarely through email. I use what I call private messaging, and that's a private way to communicate with my clients inside the members area of Club Lifestyle. So I'll leave that alone. A boot camp is basically a really intense 7 or 8 week coaching, learning, action phase where I teach every week. The group, whoever's in the boot camp, meets with me for a class every week. There are quizzes. There are things and tasks that have to be done, so on and so on and so on. It's very regimented, but very beneficial, and people get a lot out of it. And then Elite is the next level from there, because Elite is not as intense as boot camp. It's more like a marathon instead of a sprint. And Elite is 1 year, where the accountability and the coaching and the continued learning and the follow-up with my watchful eye continues on for an entire year. So that's kind of the differences between boot camp, Elite, and kind of how I communicate with my clients, because it works. And these are programs that I have inside the club. So you did 2 boot camps then. You came into Elite. And when you came into Elite, refresh me again here, because there's a lot of numbers flying around. You probably came in about what, Liz?
160-ish, 163, 165. It was last April. So it was the tail end of my, quote, you know, I'm going to hit 149 in June, you know.
Right.
And so I start, and then that's when we revised that down to, I think, 139 by November or something like that. And said, you know, you're really going to want to see 139. 149 is not going to be it.
And you had said at one point, you had said, again, it kind of doesn't come out, and this is very natural, by the way, it doesn't really come out until the success occurs. For instance, Paul would have never necessarily said to you specifically, I never really thought you'd ever get below whatever. But I think that in his best hopes or dreams, just for health and just to have a wife that was going to be able to live a long life with him and grow old and get gray hair together and be able to see their, you know, your grandkids and all that, I think, would you tell me that he, in his best
dream... And he has said it. He said he really never expected me to get below 170.
Yeah.
He would have been happy just for me to stay below 200.
Right. I mean, he had almost resolved himself to the fact that he was living with the, you know, one of the queen bees of Weight Fighters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you've come in, you're in the 160 range, we're headed to 149. Shortly after, we're working together in Elite now.
Right.
We've revised that 149, and now we're, what, tweaking it to, what, 144, 139?
139,
yeah.
I think, before Thanksgiving,
of
which I...
2006.
Of 2006.
Right.
And then what actually ended up happening, I think, was, I'm trying to remember now, I think I actually hit 134 before Thanksgiving of 2006. So
so
I would say any goals that we've set together, we ended up meeting or, exceeding.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real, you know, learning part continues to be with us is really, you know, when I'm not, quote, in action phase and having a goal to lose, what goes on when I'm not losing? And, you know, that's where, you know, falling down and gaining a little bit of weight, gaining weight over the holidays, maybe not what I would have liked to happen, but to sit back and say, okay, what am I going to learn from this?
Right.
And recognizing that, you know, I have not conquered all and that there's still, you know, my challenges are not, I certainly have a lot of challenges around social eating. I have a lot of business dinners and things like that. But when I'm on, you know, socially, you know, that's where I want to fit in and I want to do whatever and I want to, you know, eat what I want to eat whatever I want kind of comes,
right.
can come back in.
Mm-hmm.
And just recognizing that, you know, it's still there. And now it's very much, I have another voice in my head that very loudly says to me, you want to stay where you are. You don't want to have to lose this 5 pounds again. And that's probably, you know, having fall down and seeing how easy it is to revert, now I'm a little bit more conscious of, you know, what this is still, maintenance also is a learning experience of what, you know, what it is that I need to do to maintain this.
You bet. Well, you know, one of the things that comes to mind, Liz, in working with you for so long is, you know, you and I would chuckle because, you know, of course, you know, being married to a weight fighter, my wife Tracy, love her dearly. She knows exactly where I am with it and how I feel about it. I'm not saying anything out of turn about her. That's for sure. But the similarities, of course, you know, between you and living with a bona fide weight fighter, in the death statements, I want to call them, not your death, but like you and Paul would go out to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what would make Paul cringe? Like you were getting ready to eat something, or you were getting ready to order something, or maybe you hadn't even quite gone out yet.
Oh, the phrase that would, and now I can at least learn to use my husband as a barometer. The phrase that would get my husband, and now I have to say he was right and I was wrong, was, I just don't want to think about
That's
it.
Right.
I want to go out.
I just don't want to think about it.
I want to be able to eat whatever I want, and I just don't want to think about it. It's our, I should be able to do that. It's just our, my splurge. I should be able to eat whatever I think about.
Right. Right.
And he would cringe.
Right.
And he says, and, you know, he was, and after, and he was right, because that mentality of, I just don't want to think about it, is a mentality that had me, I lived for 10 years. Even me saying, I just don't want to think about it for one night, is flirting with that same, you know, experience all over again.
You would say it not just in going out with Paul, but you would say it at the lunches you'd have 3 or 4 times a week too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd say it kind of, in some way, you'd say, you know, look, everybody's going out for a lunch. I want to join them, and I just don't want to think about it.
Right.
And that, I call that kind of like a death statement. In other words, death to leanness. Yeah, I just don't want to think about it. And let's do a before and after there. So how have you switched that? And how have you gotten to the point where even you chuckle about it now?
Oh, well, one, you know, as a lot of acceptance going on, I have to think about it. And I think about it also from the standpoint, I'm going to go do a presentation. It's very important to me. I have to think about it. I want to be good at something. I have to think about it. It becomes more natural with time. And so with me, weight loss, weight maintenance, I have to think about it. And if anything, it's just helped me, you know, around planning. I plan now, and depending whether I'm in action or in maintenance or what I'm doing, I look at my social schedule and say, oof, you know, I have a conference Monday and Tuesday, and my friends want to go out on Thursday, and we want to do this on Friday. You know, I'm not going out with my friends on Thursday, especially if I'm in action. Mm-hmm. You know, now I might, and that continues to change. One is just really, you know, for me, it's about managing. It's managing my weight, but it's also managing my life.
Right.
So I've just gotten to the point of saying, I do. And there's something about, as when I started to think about other things that I want to be good at or do well at, I think about it.
So yeah, that's excellent.
You know, if I want to be good at weight loss, yeah, I have to think. I you know, that now I chuckle because I'm like, well, that's just kind of silly.
Right.
To think I'm not going to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like finances, right? You know, people who don't think about their finances or don't think about their, I don't want to think about my retirement. Well, you're going to wake up one day and be 60 years old and not have any money saved.
Right.
Great
comparison. Excellent comparison. No question about it. And it's the, it sounds very grown up, Liz.
I know. I just, something happened after I turned 37 or so. I had children. I grew up. But that's a lot of it, is just kind of the accepting there. And maybe it wasn't a growing up in many different ways, but just kind of saying, this is my life, you know, and maybe you need to be in your mid 30s, or for me, needed to be at this point where I say, this is my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm responsible for it. You know, I kind of do have this, you know, there are no reasons, there's only excuses.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, when I put something, there are no valid reasons for putting something in my mouth that's not consistent with what my goal is at that point in
right.
time. And it's all excuses. I've said this to you once. You know, it would be one thing if you said to me, Liz, you got to do an hour of activity at 10 o'clock in the morning every day, and I have to work then. And
right.
say, sorry, you know, that I, you know,
can't
I can't do that.
Right.
You never said that. You said you have to do an hour of activity every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I sighed
mm-hmm.
several times. But, I figured it out. You know, it was getting up earlier and just
mm-hmm.
doing it. But there was just a lot of growing up and just saying,
mm-hmm.
okay, this is my life. What do I want?
It's so very true in that regardless of what the endeavor is, if we're not all that naturally good at it, we're going to have to think about it, and we're going to have to put what's going to feel like a concerted effort into it to get reasonably good. And you're absolutely right, and it's the way I teach it, that it doesn't matter what it is. Since when has anything that's ever been admired, since when has anything that's ever been worth achieving been super easy? Now, sure, there are people that are more naturally inclined than others in certain areas of life. And maybe certain areas of life are a little easier for some people than others. But no one gets it all. And all of us have a weak area, or all of us have an area that we're not all that naturally inclined to be good at. So if your area, just like what you were saying, Liz, is instead of having the goal of, well, you know, I want to have a goal of weight loss, really it's, I want to have a goal of living a lean, healthy life. And if that's the goal, and you're not all that naturally inclined to do it, well, you've got to get the tools you need to get yourself set up. And just like Liz was saying, you can't have the, well, I just don't want to think about it, and I shouldn't have to put in any effort to it because other people don't, when that's not true. Sure, there are some people who don't have to put a lot of concerted functional effort into it from their own perspective, but no one gets it all, you know? So if your area, it's perfect, Liz, just like what you were saying, if your area where you're not all that strong is weight and health and leanness, well, like Liz, you're going to have to grow up at some point, and you can. You know, there's always hope. I'd never, ever, ever bet against a person coming in regardless of their history. And, you know, when you're talking about, you know, like you were saying, Liz, you're talking about somebody who at 9 years old started their first diet. You know, if I was someone who was my glass is half empty person, I could have been betting against you from day one, but no way. That's just not how I look at people coming into the program. So, So, okay, so the death statements are kind of going by the wayside now. And the other thing you had said is just these mental shifts, like instead of looking at a lapse or a recycling as, well, it's 7 to 10 pounds, you had done a shift in your head to, it isn't 7 to 10 pounds. It's, you remember that? You had thought, like, you know what, the slippery slope of a 7 to 10 pound gain, in your mind, you made it the same as what? Do you remember that? Now I'll refresh you. You made it the same as weighing 230 pounds. You had said to me at a point here, this is 07, you had said either early in 07 or late in 06, you had said, when thinking of a gain or thinking of a slip or thinking of a lapse, it's not, well, you know, it's 10 pounds. It's, no, because of the slippery slope, it could very easily,
very easily,
be going from, at that time, maybe you were 150 pounds or 145 or whatever, it may as well be 230 because the slippery slope is right there.
Right, right. Yeah, it doesn't, exactly. Yeah, not stopping it. It's the change, accepting that's the change in behavior. The behavior that gains 10 pounds is the same behavior that's going to get me to 230.
Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily such a small thing, or at least needs to be reeled in very quickly.
Right. Which, yeah, once again, the accountability and the program and having you be there to say, hello.
Right.
You just gained 5 pounds, stop. is, you know, obviously, you know, makes a difference. But it is, and as I said, continuing to learn of, like, and I actually can feel kind of the, like, I still remember the shift of being in weight gain mode and being like, oh my God, I can't stop myself.
Right.
And it's just, it is a different mentality, and that probably, it did happen a little bit during the holiday season, and, you know, I gained, I briefly, you know, I'd hit 135, I got up to 145 again, you know, and brought it back down, and that was, yeah, definitely probably the conversation of, like, it was scary,
mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a comment my husband made, is that it wasn't, I don't quite believe him entirely, but he always said it wasn't the 200 or the 210. It was where, you know, it was where you were going. It was you were going to be 300 pounds,
right?
And that's how, you know, one of the debates I had between, you know, 160. Everybody was like, because you made me take a picture, and I looked at him like, I'm not thin. I thought I was thin at 160. but looking at, for me, 160 felt thin, and 160 could be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could be healthy and live long, and a long time to figure out why 160 is not okay for me has nothing to do with the physical part of it. It has to do with the mental part of what am I doing to be 160? You know, what foods am I eating? What at 160?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you live lean and eat a certain way, that's not 160.
Right.
You know, it might be where I am right now at 130, and I know that if I want to get below 130, that it's going to require some action, something more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But the living lean part is somebody, I believe now, is somebody in your kind of the fit 130. You know, I am, last time I looked, I was like 19, 20% body fat.
Yeah, that's great.
So, you know, am I super lean? No.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is the way I eat now every day isn't much different than what I was doing to get here.
Right.
And the 160 Liz would have been having a splurge every single day.
Right.
And could maybe maintain 160, but then it gets back to those actions lead to me thinking and having a mentality that I can eat all I want and do what I want and
right.
not think about it.
Right. Absolutely. Well, let me just talk to you for a moment here about, you know, one of the big things that we teach early on for anybody is to develop a strong why. And you've mentioned it several times, and you had said that your friend had a strong why. And these are all, again, all terms for the person who isn't familiar with the program or they may not, you know, understand it. You know, in your why, you would have had statements relating to having more confidence in business situations. In your why, you would have had statements relating to functions involving your kids, making sure that you're able to do things with them and so forth. And what I really just want you to just briefly cover is What's the difference between writing out your why and including those statements and then experiencing them for real, in real time, when you're actually there, living the after? When you write out a why, the way I say it, the way I teach it is, no matter how clear it is, and it needs to be as clear as we can possibly make it, and I teach my clients how to do that and how to kind of draw and dig and keep digging and digging and digging until we get as much clarity in the why as possible, it's still black and white compared to living it in full color. Why don't you give a couple examples, if you don't mind, of what I'm talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I never would have imagined the situations that I were in and how grateful I was to be as thin as I was at those points. The one situation was with my son, right before he turned four. They had a carnival at his school, and my son David is a kid who gets nervous about doing new things and certainly physical things and noisy things. And we're at a carnival, and they have one of those 20-foot slides that's inflatable. You blow up, and you have to climb up the rope ladder on the side, and then you sit in a bag and you go on down. And with kids who are not four, parents have to go up with them. And my son saw his classmates doing it, and he wanted to do it. And so I said, okay, fine. And I was shocked and so pleased for him, because this is not a kid who likes to try new things. Get online. The woman in front of me, probably, and at that point I think I was wearing size 8 jeans and feeling pretty good, and the woman in front of me was probably 40 pounds overweight, really struggled, went up, really struggled to get up to the top, you know, and came down with her son, and really, you know, wasn't comfortable with and could see it. And I remember thinking, how nice that I'm not her, and how good to be able to, you know, follow my son up and, you know, go down with him. What a great feeling, because it was fun, and I wouldn't have been, and then the thought that occurred to me is, if I was 220, could I have done that? I don't know that I physically could have gone up that slide at 220.
Mm-hmm.
And the pit in my stomach thought that I had was, and what would I have done? Would I have still encouraged David to do it? Would I have found another parent? You know, could you go up with him? Or would I have said, you know what, David, we'll come back later.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's one of the things, like, wow, I get to do stuff with my kid. We had fun. I went down the slide. But the scary realization of, ooh, would I, you know, what would I have done?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would I have actually held my son back?
Right.
So, you know, both of those things, wonderful thing that I never would have envisioned that sort of stuff to be able to do with my child, you know, so that's just, you know, wonderful. The other situation was same sort of thing was going, we had a secondary offering, and I was one of a small group of people that got invited out by the bankers to, a restaurant in New York City. And probably the only, certainly only woman there from my company. I think there's probably only one other woman there in a dinner of 32 or so people. And there I was sitting at a table with, you know, one other person in my company, six bankers that I didn't know, wearing my nice, you know, blue suit that, you know, at that point I think was a size 6, and feeling very comfortable and confident and be able to start conversations with each one of them and not feeling self-conscious, not having to worry about, you know, having to go out and buy a suit and find something that fit, not even necessarily looked good, but fit. Feel self-conscious about, oh my God, are they watching me as I'm eating? Do I eat the piece of bread? I want the piece of bread. You know, do I have the dessert? They think I'm a fat woman. To instead just be able to enjoy the meal and talk to these people and say, wow, I could be charming. You know, that never would have been in my wall. It never would have crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm. No, it would have been more general, like, I want to have more confidence in business situations.
Right.
Like, what does that mean? Well, you kind of know what it means. But when you live it in real time and you can apply it to that very specific situation and have those feelings with it, it's what I say, it's going from black and white to full color. That's just, how does being, a woman in your field, in a male-dominated field, how's the effect of being at a healthy to lean weight compared to not? I mean, is there any difference, you know, at all as far as how you feel about that?
I feel I had to work. I mean, what's kind of ironic is I started this job in probably was 180 when I started this job. I think it was November of 05. And then I was losing weight. Most people thought it was the baby fat. You know, people now will look at me and say, well, you've lost weight, and they'll say, you know, but they think I've lost 20. They didn't know me at 220. So it's really weird because people, they just don't know. And the few people that I've said it to, they're like, oh, I can't believe that. And I do feel there's a little bit of a different, you know, kind of, maybe it's how I present myself. I'm sure that's some of it. But kind of easier, accepted more in meetings. I do feel, certainly in previous companies that I was at, I had to be better. You know, it wasn't... And I was good, but I had to be better because I had to make up, as much as nobody would ever admit it, but I had to make up for the fact that, at least this is how I felt, I wasn't not necessarily good looking, but I was obese.
Mm-hmm.
I was big.
Mm-hmm.
I know how, you know, I had to admit, I've gone to meetings and a large person walks in and then you kind of look twice at what they're wearing. I had to dress better. Because your perception of somebody who's large is that they don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I know that's how, it's as unfortunate as it is, that's how I might feel. So I do think there's a difference, and I don't know whether it's so much how I act and I know I do act with more confidence, but also just kind of this acceptance. I can bring her to a business meeting, she's not going to embarrass me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just outstanding to be able to kind of relay that in full color. to others that are listening, as far as how the details come out and the impact it has, you know, in your work and also in interaction with your kids. And as you said, would you have dissuaded David from even trying? And that's a very powerful, it's kind of a scary thought.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to live it.
Right.
And you didn't have to leave that day or live today with any regret.
Right. And that's why, you know, and my why now, I have a really strong, I have strong whys now to stay this way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the same thing. At 160, 170, I don't know that would have given me a strong reason to stay,
mm-hmm.
you know, there. But here it's like, wow, this is great. This is, you know, this is a good place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, I've noticed, you know, and it's one of the reasons that I asked you to do this interview is that there's been a substantial shift. Not just the physical. And I always teach it this way, that the physical can happen rather quickly. And it always precedes the mental and emotional. But I really feel, Liz, that the mental and emotional is catching up quickly if it hasn't already completely caught up. And even though, well, you know, as I teach it, you're never going to be, quote, in the clear. The perceived effort is just going to continue to get less and less and less. And although you'll always have to paddle that kayak
right.
on the river facing upstream, the paddling won't be as treacherous, you know, as it's felt in the past, and it can just get better and better from here. Well, what I want to do is I want to have you, you know, just talk for just a minute to someone who might be listening to this who's wondering, well, but can I do it? You know, is who's this not for? Who's this for? What are your thoughts on that? Who shouldn't do the program, or who should do the program? Who do you think it's going to be best for? Where does a person need to be if they decide to come in, or they're thinking about coming into Club Lifestyle? Where do they need to be in their life to come in? Because as I listened to, you know, to you today, you weren't where you are today when you came in. That's for sure.
Right.
So what do you think? Where does a person need to be? What advice would you give to the person considering weight loss again, or considering doing my program versus Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, or some other program, the hundreds and hundreds of programs that are out there?
First, it can be done. I would agree with no way. You know, it can, and I do believe anybody can do it. You need to be open to change. You need to be open to say, you know, maybe the way I've been doing things isn't the way that the way I need to be doing things. Take the opportunity to learn from your past mistakes. And that I believe anybody who chooses to be honest and conscious about what their actions are, and that's why personally I think Lena's Lifestyle is great, because it's all there. if you're honest and you log it and you say, this is what I'm doing, it's all there for you to learn, for an individual to learn and figure it out. And Lena's lifestyle, in particular, meets you with where you are. You're not getting a cookie cutter. It meets you. This is where you are right now, today. And you start learning yourself. And it's a, and make a, making a commitment that, to really be honest with yourself. And then, personally, I said, obviously, big fan of yours. Read the book and do, you know, it's the strategies. And, mm-hmm. and we, you know, it's the having a why. It's creating a leverage. It's having a goal. These are all things that I didn't do, you know, mm-hmm. before then and didn't consciously do. So that's why, you know, working through really why do you want to do this and understanding what it is that you need to do and accepting that, anybody can do it.
Well, and just tell everybody, if you don't mind, what are the 5 words that this program is not? You remember what they are? Starts with eat.
Eat less and exercise more.
That's not what it is. We don't boil right. it down to eat less and exercise more. That's too mechanical and that doesn't work. But like you said, we lay it out in a system. We lay it out with everything in place. And let me ask you, did you need to download extra software when you became a member?
No.
I mean, everything's within the club?
Everything was within the club.
Yeah, so the only thing you needed was my book.
Right.
As far as something extra, you know. But the way I say it is, how can you take the class if you don't have the textbook? Kind of tough. I mean, if you were taking college credits, you always have a textbook, and that's how I look at the book. So other than that, everything's inside the club, inside Club Lifestyle. Well, Liz, I'm going to give you, one more opportunity. If there's anything at all that you want to say to anyone about anything, now's the time, and then I'm going to close, and we'll just, this has been an amazing interview. People are, I think, just going to be blown away by your transformation from 220, 230 down to 130 pounds, 95, 100 pounds. It's just unbelievable. So any last words about anything before I close?
One of the other real benefit of what I've learned over the last 2 years, and all the tools that exist in Club Lifestyle, as we've already talked about having a why and being in action and all that sort of stuff, it actually has transferred to the rest of my life as well. And that, in that sense, and it's made a difference in my marriage. And we've had a good marriage. I would say now we have a great partnership. And that, all this stuff just kind of, translates when I look at other goals in my life. Why do I want to do this? What is it that I need to do to get there? My husband and I sit down, and that's what we talk about. His goals, nothing to do with weight loss, but his goals, and how does that, when are you in action? When are you not? And so all of it really, when you talk about, even take away the leanness, it's a lifestyle that, that just has really honestly changed, my life and my kids' lives and my husband's life. So couldn't say it's worth anybody's time to really invest in,
Well, I want to thank you so very much for those kind words. And even on the, it reminded me of what I wrote on the back of the book when I was talking about my own family. And on the back cover of the book, I show a picture of my family that was from, 2002. So that's, 5 years ago now. And my family's changed a lot. But the words on the back of the book don't need to change, and it related to how when you've really adopted the lifestyle into your life, it transcends well beyond weight loss, and it does spill over and carry over into all the other areas of your life. And I just want to thank you, Liz, for saying it the way you did, and I just want to say I'm so very proud of what you've done, how far you've come, and you're just someone that I consider a blue chipper. You're just a blue chipper through and through. Your and Paul's relationship is a blue chipper relationship. It's just outstanding. And you're top of the top. I'm so very fortunate to be able to work with you. I want to thank you for doing this interview with me. I know that people are going to be blown away by it. And as a part of your leverage, I'm just going to make sure that we do a follow-up interview in, say, like 6 months to a year, and we just don't want to hear anything above 135. Okay?
All right. Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. To learn more about the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle online, please visit www.leanness.com. www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.leannesslifestyle.com.